All right, good morning. My name is Kim Eshelman, and I work for the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene in the Office of Preparedness and Response. We're based in Baltimore, Maryland. And today we want to share with you some of a project we've been working on now for a few years for tracking our inventory and also using in our emergency response with our patient tracking in some of our public points of dispensing where we do medication dispensing. All right, so to begin today, I want to give you a background of one of the scenarios or a few of the scenarios we plan for in our office that fit into this model that's before you in this chart. If there is a public health emergency at the local or state level and our medical supplies and resources are inadequate or deemed to be inadequate to respond to the event, we can make a request from the federal government to supplement the supplies at our state and local level. So we would put in a request from our state level to CDC, and we would receive, our assets would be deployed here from the feds to the state level. We receive those supplies at an emergency warehouse. We call it an RSS warehouse, but it's basically an emergency warehouse. And then from the state level, they go to our local partners at the local level here. And they are dispensed out to the public, or depending on the scenario, as the situation deems appropriate. In this case, it would be an event where we would need to dispense medications to the entire population in the state of Maryland. So we would set up these dispensing sites in order to do that. So that's the background sort of the problem that we have, not the problem per se, but the challenge we have in the systems now we'll talk about that we've worked with to develop and help make that a little bit easier process. So in Maryland, we have an inventory management system. It's warehouse management and patient tracking all in one. So there's a number of different components to it. There's three main components that we're going to talk about today. It can be managed remotely or on site. It's online through a server basis. So I can access it at home if I have a policy request that's being made for data, or you can do it on-site at the warehouse or at a dispensing clinic as well. So it tracks resources from the level that we receive it from the federal government all the way down to the patient level. So some of the key features that it helps us with, it allows us to respond to a number of different types of public health response emergencies. There's an allocation wizard that's really helpful for us at the state level. If we have a limited supply of resources, it helps us quickly make those allocations to our local partners. And there's also special countermeasure features that are specific to the stockpile that we manage and work with. One of the great things about it is the customizable reports that we can create. So I know, for example, the certain questions I'm going to get from my director once we receive a shipment. She's always going to ask me certain things. So I can go ahead and pre-populate a report in there, and then once the data's in, it will automatically populate it with that, and I can email that off to her. It's exportable to Excel, which makes it really handy, because if there's something I can't figure out to work in the system, I can just put it into Excel and tweak the data there as well. These are just some of the pictures I've thrown in, so you can actually see some of the equipment pieces. This is like a go kit that we use. We could use this at an actual dispensing site. So the history of it for our office in Maryland, we procured this system in 2009. And in 2009, in the public health world in the states here, we were in the middle of H1N1 response and managing a lot of inventory in terms of antivirals, PPE, vaccine. There was a lot going on. So we immediately used it to help manage some of the supplies we were receiving and shipping out. In 2010, we were able to adapt it to use and for one of our actual H1N1 flu clinics. So at a patient level, it helped us to track, and we'll kind of go through that in a little bit more detail here in a few minutes, the inventory dispensed to an individual. And we're now in the process of starting to use it additionally to track materials that we receive from our federal grants that we purchase, so at the state level, but also with our partners, again, at hospitals throughout the state and our local health departments. And so we can view that data aggregately as a state.
So
see, these are some of the countermeasures and PPE that we use to track during H1N1. Currently, we use it day-to-day for our warehouse inventory. So aside from an emergency response, we also have public health preparedness materials that are just stockpiles we have on hand or other materials that we use day-to-day for functioning. Even our office equipment, we are now inputting into this just to as a simple way to track where things are. We have a number of different storage closets, warehouse space. I'm sure you all understand the complexities with that. So when someone wants to know where the three-ring binders even are for your presentation next week, you can kind of figure it out very quickly. Our local health departments use it to track their federal purchases, and then we'll go through the state mass vaccination exercise we did with it. So this is just an overview of our emergency warehouse that we have set up. And as you can see, prior to the system, we tracked this information, unfortunately, in an Excel spreadsheet, which was not very efficient and was very frustrating at times. If you were receiving large amounts of inventory, it was not very quick. I could not do a quick report from my director and give her the data that she needed in a timely manner. Up to the left here, these are the handheld scanners. So I had mentioned it can be tracked online through a computer system, but also when you're in the actual warehouse or at a clinic on site, you can actually scan it with the RF scanners here. So this is a picture of the inventory system. When you go into it, you can get detail on each item, location, expiration date. If it's a product that needs maintenance, you can flag it for maintenance and it will pre-populate and tell you when things need to be maintained. There's an audit log, and like I said, you can export it all to Excel, which makes it easy for those of us who are not as techie, such as myself. At the patient tracking level, that's the next phase we'll go into a little bit more detail here. This is a sample of the screens on the handheld scanners, those RF scanners that I had mentioned. So if you're a nurse in a clinic, a mass dispensing clinic, that's something our office plans for a lot. These are the options you would see on the handheld scanner, and it's user-friendly, so it walks you through the questions you need to answer as that patient is going through your clinic. So in February 2010, we did an H1N1 vaccination functional exercise, and we wanted to test this new system we had received. We had used it for a lot of the big picture inventory as we were receiving at the state and shipping out to our local health departments, but we really wanted to move into the patient tracking level. To track and monitor the inventory within a clinic itself. So once it goes from the state level down to a smaller local level, we wanted to be able to see that back at our state level warehouse, how inventory was being used and at what speed. So here's, this is like a point of dispensing, a pod is a term you might hear someone else, and it's our mass vaccination clinic flow that we had set up here. So your first step, it's pretty basic, you register. And what the system enables us to do is it can scan a driver's license even and pull data off of there. If the user does not have a driver's license, you can manually input the information. If there's something that's not on a driver's license, data you want to collect, you can also add that in and manually do that. So then next is the screening station, and you can pre-populate in the system the screening questions you want it to answer and how you want that, if it's yes, go to question 2, if it's no, go to question 5. It can automatically do that for you, which makes life a little bit easier for us in our clinics. It minimizes paperwork too, which is a relief, and also human error. All right, so here's like an example of a questionnaire you can use, and like I said, this is customizable depending on what response you're doing or what you're dispensing in your clinic. And at this station for us, something we're very concerned about in our office as we plan for public health emergencies is making sure our throughput is as fast as possible. And that's one thing that this system really helped us do is to increase our throughput. So the average wait at this station was 1 minute, and usually at a screening station it's a little bit longer than that for us. So after you do your screening station, you go to dispensing, and the important part is we have it tracked in our system, you know, as that patient went through the clinic, but we also need to record for them and do a printout often for them, not always, but in this scenario, we wanted them to have a printout that they had received their vaccination at this time with this lot number from this nurse, and all that can automatically print out for you. So one thing that I had mentioned a little bit before is if we were doing a response like this across the state, so this was our pilot test, we just had one site set up using the system, but we could then, if we had, you know, say 50 sites that were all dispensing at the same time throughout the state of Maryland, and we needed to worry about resupply from our state level warehouse, we could track and monitor in the system how fast these materials are being dispensed and know and anticipate ahead of time when we needed to resupply that site with additional vaccine or medical supplies, depending again on the scenario. And that's a really big help to us at the state level to be able to anticipate those needs so we can pre-plan, even if it's just a few hours in advance, for what the need might be. So again, a recap of the exercise. We had participation for all 24 of our local health departments. This is a system we're rolling out to all the health departments across the state of Maryland. Scanning the driver's license simplified the data entry at the registration process. It limits that paperwork, which is very beneficial for analysis afterwards. When it's a paper-based system, which is what we've done in the past mostly, it takes a long time to be able to get that data, input it into a system to analyze it. And when we have something real-time like this, that helps us, provides us with the information so that we can plan the next clinic, even with zip code data, knowing which zip codes have received vaccine or where there's a need. We can target our public messaging based on that data. We'll kind of breeze through this. So the last part that we are using it for is with our public health regions. So the Maryland Health and Medical Regions, there's 5 of them across the state. And one of the grants that our office works with is the Hospital Preparedness Program. And so a big move that we're making too in the state of Maryland is regionalizing our healthcare planning. And so in an emergency, it's important to know, like I said, what resources you have available to you, first at the local level, then at the regional level, then at the state level, and then finally if we need to make a request to the feds. So once we can input the data into the system for their emergency preparedness materials that are purchased under this grant, we can then make the user access so they can see what's at their individual facility, what's in their region, what they know their neighbors have that are through this grant, and then us at the state, we can see the big state picture. So if there's a need, for example, for ventilators in one part of the state, and we know it might not be in that region, but we could pull from another region that's not being affected at the time. So it gives us that statewide visibility. It gives us accountability to satisfy some of our HPP oversight and ease in reporting. At the end of the year, we always do our inventory reports. And just that real-time situational awareness during an emergency, things move very quickly, and so we need that information to be able to plan an appropriate and efficient response. And finally, too, this is what we often forget in our planning, is that recovery time. And when we go back to be reimbursed, if it's a catastrophic emergency or just for tracking of resources and who owes who what money and where it's coming from, we can go back into the system and see where that resource was used and where it traveled to throughout a public health emergency. So there's a few different things we're still working on with the system. We're still working with our local health departments to get them trained on the system so they can input their inventory into it. That will allow us to make sure we can allocate resources accordingly during an event. We also are looking to do patient pre-registration on a website. If we can link to our homepage for the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, we could even have people fill out those screening forms online before they report to a clinic, and then we could just scan their information, and we won't have to spend time with them on site there asking them all the questions. There's also a number of health departments already had their own inventory systems, and We encourage them to keep using the systems they use on a day-to-day basis because that makes the training challenge a little bit easier if it's something they're using already. And so we're working to integrate the systems they currently have with this system so that they can keep using what's been working for them, but we can talk and get the data we need into our system. So some of the benefits, it's been very user-friendly. We have real-time tracking and accountability of resources and where materials are, and it gives us that speed with collecting the demographic information at the patient level. It also greatly reduces the manpower requirements for inventory tracking. Again, as I said, our kind of this system stage that we were at in the health department, it really was time intensive to make sure we had the resources where they were, making sure your Excel sheet didn't get messed up when you add a new material in. So it's been we've taken a really big step forward. Some of the challenges that are just important to note, especially in our pre-planning, is that the system does require on-site power, so that's something we've had to take into consideration since we plan for emergencies, is having backup battery supplies and also the cords and electrical outlets in a public site where you're having a lot of people, up to 1,000 people come through a clinic an hour. That's just something we have to really consider in our pre-planning and how that's going to work. It is capable, the system does allow us to, if you don't have internet access right there on site, it can work through the server and then you can upload the data later once you do have internet access. We prefer to do it in real time, obviously, because that makes our data that much better. And that's all I have for you. I can take a seat and I guess we'll just field questions from you. We're a small group, so it should be all right, but yes.
So it seems like the model you're using is that if there is a mass event, then the health department would be the only one that's doing the countermeasure distribution for the health departments, and so hospitals or other clinics would not be involved in that process. Is that
at this point, we don't have the data input at the hospital level for dispensing of medications in real time. They can put in the information manually and with the RF scanners for inventory, like big level inventory, but not down to the patient level. But that's the direction we could definitely take this project.
So you are getting a sense for the inventory in that end node of the detail. So
yeah, but at the patient level right now, it's only at the health department, not at the hospitals. But you're right, that would be a very good one.
The other interface that can be important at times is if at times you need to do active surveillance on having done vaccine or other countermeasure distribution, that's the entry point is when you actually present the countermeasure. So, for example, in the smallpox vaccination program where there was, you know, active surveillance was required for the vaccine, this, a system like that would be a place where you would identify who was actually receiving it and sharing it for surveillance purposes. I have a question on your presentation. It looked like you classified three different types of data, that you were principally focused on throughput issues and emergency department time issues. Wasn't clear the degree to which the 108 data elements included things like ventilator availability or status or other resources,
right,
or the surveillance components of ED department tracking. I saw a diagnosis there, but that.
Yeah, most of the 108 variables were diagnoses, so resources was not part of the variables at this point. And process oriented measures as well were part of the 108.
Just from what you showed, it was mostly process oriented,
right,
and not so much on the clinical side either.
Right, right. But there were diagnoses as well, I think 40 or so diagnoses.
So the 108 included individual diagnoses that might be checked off if
correct.
They existed.
Correct.
So do you, aside from those diagnoses, how many data elements overall do you have a sense for that? diagnosis at one data element.
Right.
How many other data?
Yeah, we broke it down to, we used the first 2 months with this core group of professionals to break down their core set of diagnosis codes. So that came, we started with 35,000 data elements, and we broke it down to 108.
That was like ICD, all the
correct.
Possible ICD codes.
Correct. Correct. And any extraneous data that was also coming in, free text, the doctor's notes were also in the manual upload, which we did use the artificial intelligence with to kind of merge the free text. But yeah, it's the core set, which the assistant secretary thought was the most important for a then regional phase and then a national phase. But
were those actual diagnosis codes, or were they synchronic?
Diagnoses codes, so ICD-9 codes.
So for a system, another biosurveillance system such as Essence, did any of these hospitals participate in anything like that? Because I know in our county, Santa Clara County, we have Essence installed and we gather a lot of this data, but this sounds like something completely separate. I don't know if you...
In our project, it did not. These six hospitals did not in the Washington metro area.
Because I think this is a natural or a logical extension of those types of systems, get that sort of regional coordination. Right now, the information that we gather is used for a specific purpose for the health officer to monitor, well, clusters of, especially influenza-like illnesses.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, I hope the Assistant Secretary revises the projects that they were doing, because the second phase was a nationwide assessment of all the tools that metropolitan areas and communities used, like yours, for emergency preparedness and response. Kind of a cataloging national inventory of what's out there. And then the second phase of that study was to actually go in and do studies of which one worked best. So I hope that's revived.
So that is on the table.
It was on the table.
Plan. Well, I had a question. I'm sorry, I can't see the Ontario presenter. But just what's behind all of, I mean, it's very, very nice what you presented, but what type of work went into developing that?
So we get the data, I analyze the data, and I put it into an SQL server, or SQL database, and we collaborated with, so in terms of personnel, there was a manager, an analyst, and an IT person, three people. Yeah.
Pretty resource pair for personnel,
right.
So. It's quite impressive.
Thank you.
Especially the tool set that's, you know, customizable.
Right.
You got the same system in our department where someone submits a request for a port and there goes the tool. So, yeah, it's quite impressive.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the conference.